Hey, I want to thank our sponsor, Blue Apron, the number one fresh ingredient and recipe delivery service in the country. Look, their mission is to make incredible home cooking accessible to everyone, and they achieve this by supporting a more sustainable food system, setting the highest standards for ingredients, and building a community of home chefs. Blue Apron has established partnerships at over 150 local farms, fisheries, and ranches across the U.S. And as a result, their seafood is sourced sustainably under standards developed in partnership with the Monterey Bay Aquarium Seafood Watch. Beef, chicken, and pork come from responsibly raised animals. Produce is sourced from farms that practice regenerative farming. Because Blue Apron ships the exact amount of each ingredient required for a recipe, they are reducing food waste. Look, cooking together builds strong family bonds. Research shows that Blue Apron families cook nearly three times more often. Those who spend a lot at restaurants at high-end grocery chains can now spend under $10 per person for a delicious meal. Their upcoming meals are seared chicken and creamy pasta salad with summer squash and sweet peppers, creamy shrimp rolls with quick pickles and sweet potato wedges, fresh basil fettuccine pasta with sweet corn and Cubanelle pepper, as well as chili butter steaks with Parmesan potatoes and spinach. I'm telling you guys, me and my girl, we have Blue Apron night, and it is the best night of the week. She's impressed by my cooking. I'm impressed with her cooking. It's a great date night. It's affordable for less than $10 per person per meal. Blue Apron delivers seasonable recipes along with pre-portioned ingredients to make delicious home-cooked meals. They got variety. You could choose from a variety of new recipes each week, or let Blue Apron's culinary team surprise you. I love surprises, and they're flexible. I'm telling you, customize your recipes each week based on your preferences. And it's easy. Each meal comes with a step-by-step, easy-to-follow recipe, and pre-portioned ingredients can be prepared in 40 minutes or less, and it's guaranteed. They guarantee freshness, and I'm telling you, every ingredient in your delivery arrives ready to cook, or they'll make it right. So check out this week's menu and get your first three meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/MMA roast. You'll love how good it feels, how good it tastes, and be able to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. Don't wait. That's blueapron.com/MMA roast. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. Hey, everybody, welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. It's me, Adam Hunter. I am here with the man, UFC veteran, Bellator veteran, and now you're a Ryzen veteran, Anthony Burchak. How are you, man?
I'm good. How are you? You've been busy.
Yes.
Getting married and stuff.
Got married. Greatest day of my life.
Awesome, dude. Congrats. I'm very proud of you. It's a very adult thing to do.
It is, right? It's weird saying my wife. Like, I had to upgrade my girlfriend to my wife and my side chick to my girlfriend. And no, I'm joking. But no, it is weird. It's weird, like, my wife. I'm so used to, I keep saying girlfriend or fiance. You've been married, right? You're married to Mercedes?
Me and Mercedes are still engaged, but I've already been so programmed to say wife as well. That way when it does happen, it's not like I still call her my girlfriend. So I've preempted this. I've thought about this long and hard.
Now, how long have you been engaged for?
2 years now, two years now.
Now, Mercedes is not she's a beautiful woman.
Yeah.
She's got double D's, right? Triple D's?
No.
G's?
For goddamn.
Really? She
yes.
Has, there you go. But she seems like she's also a fighter as well.
Yeah.
She doesn't like pressure you to have a date. Like, I want.
Believe it or not, she's dragging her feet, dude. I've tried to marry her several times now.
Really?
We come to Vegas like 14 times a year. And I've been like, fuck it. Let's just pop in somewhere and get married. And she's like, no, your mom would kill us. My mom would kill us. Everyone. I'm like, dude, who gives a shit? Like, you know, we just, I've been telling her, like, we need to make this happen. And she's the one that drags her feet. So I don't know. I don't know what her deal is, but
I actually tried to, my girl, we were like, cause Dan Hardy told me he got married. It was $25 drive through wedding. You get out once just to take pictures and that's it.
Here in Las Vegas.
In Las Vegas. And that's what he did. And I asked my girl about it. She said that would ruin takeout for her. But so that's why she was like, no way. But I think, you know what? I think you either go big or you go way small.
Yeah, there's no in between, right? You can't like have like a mediocre wedding. You either have like a little shitty me, you, and our friend wedding, or you have this big, giant, extravagant, over the top, you know, kind of.
I think the second or third wedding, you gotta keep going smaller. You can't go bigger unless you're like a Jay-Z or you have some kind of like, no, yeah, fuck yeah. You money and you could just do that.
Indispensable funds, right? So
Now, but have you been married before?
Never.
But how many kids do you have?
Four. I got two stepdaughters and then two sons of my own.
So you have two sons from the same woman?
No, me and Mercedes have a son.
Right, okay.
I have a son from a previous relationship, and yep. then Mercedes has her two stepdaughters from
previous.
Got
it. And now, okay, so how old are they?
So we just got rid of the 18-year-old. She's out of high school. We got one going into high school who's 14. My 9-year-old son, Van, and then the youngest one, Jet, is 3.
Did you get fixed or no?
No, she got fixed.
She got Mercedes can't have kids anymore.
No, she's pissed, by the way.
Why?
Well, because I duped her into it. I was like, yeah, I can't get my tubes tied. I'll lose all my testosterone. I need it for fighting. And she was like, okay.
Oh, so she actually did it?
She bought it. Right. That has nothing to do with my testosterone levels.
Oh, Jesus. Is that even legal?
I don't know.
That's crazy.
She did it. Actually, in hindsight, I would have never had her go through it if I would have known the health risks that are, you know,
okay,
side of that. So she's had a bunch of shit wrong with her ever since it happened, and I would have never, I would have never signed off on that if I would have known that her health would have been compromised.
Sorry to hear that. It's taking a really dark turn here. Now, okay, you're fighting coming up. You got a fight coming up in Ryzen. Now, you're a guy who left the UFC on a win.
Yeah.
So that, which is not rare. I mean, which is very rare. I mean, most people do not do that. But you said, you know what? They were taking too long. You were getting sidelined. You got to pay for four kids.
Yeah, man. It's not, you know, this world, that we live in is you have a very short shelf life. You know what I mean? And people will stomp on you and use you and throw you away. So for me to be able to leave the UFC on a win, which is not very common, is huge for me, because at that point I was like, yes, I did leave on a win over a tough Brazil finalist and, you know, very tough opponents. You know, I went 2-2 in the organization, but it was good opponents, and you know, I'm not ashamed of anything.
You knocked out Joe Soto. How quick?
It was a minute 38, I think. And then me and Thomas Almeida, you know, before I got, you know,
that was a
folded
war
up like origami, I was in it. So, you know, and then the tough Brazil final. So going into any contract negotiations after that, you know, we had a good leg up. So, Ryzen was the organization that I really wanted to be part of. I think they're going to blow up within the next year and a half, 2 years with what they're doing there in Japan.
I like what they're doing. Now, you fought over there. Now, have people, you know, all the pride fighters say you can't compare fighting in Japan to the U.S. It's like you're a superstar in Japan. Have you gotten any of that treatment over
Absolutely.
There?
It's like one of the weirdest things. Like, so if you go to Brazil, you fight in Brazil, it doesn't matter who you're fighting. The Brazilians, that guy could be the worst piece of shit human being on the planet, but you're an American fighting a Brazilian in Brazil, the Brazilians are going to support that man, no matter how terrible of a human he is. You could be fighting a Japanese legend like Tetsuya Kawajiri in Tokyo, and they're like, you're going to win.
Oh, really?
We want you to win. Yeah, and it's like, it was very...
But was that to your face, though, and then to them? But then to them, are they rooting for him?
But even when I was looking through Twitter and Instagram, it wasn't like, fuck you, American, go home, we want you to leave. It was like... this American speaks very highly of his talent. We want to see what he's capable of. We want to see him fight, you know, Kawajiri. And even after, like, if you guys watched the fight, like, it was super boring, you know.
Wasn't a boring fight.
To me, it was, you know, getting laid on and, you know, I had to take a pregnancy test after, you know, so.
It was an exciting fight.
It was, like, when I look at it and I've watched it, I usually watch every fight 8 to 10 times post. I watched this one, like, 4 or 5 times. And I was just like, I did my thing. You know what I mean? 145 is not my weight class.
Right.
You know, fighting someone like Kawajiri, who's, you know, an icon in MMA, icon in Japanese MMA, that was just a cherry on the top for me. And I told him, as long as the money's good, as long as the opponent was good, I'm not going to fight some no-name 145er, you know what I mean? So, but the fan, man, the way they treat you, that was the best time I've ever had getting my ass kicked. The way they treated me and the way they still treat me to this day.
You're the headliner, too.
Yeah. Oh, man. I never got a chance to main event in the UFC. I main evented like 7 cards before I got into the UFC. And then, you know, I was treated like a king before I got in. You know, I didn't really get that treated that great in the UFC. And then, again, right as soon as I got out into Ryzen, I'm headlining a card with one of the biggest names ever. And it was just a life-changing experience for me.
Now, do they test over there? Because it seems like a lot of these guys are having resurgences over here, looking like world beaters. And even Kawajiri, his body looked a little bit different than when he fought in the UFC.
He's, you know, I can speculate.
But did they test you? Did you get tested?
We did get tested, and they said that it's water, USADA, and they're going to send it to Salt Lake City.
Okay.
I don't know.
All right.
I haven't. Where are we at now? I fought April 16th.
Yeah, yeah.
I haven't seen anything.
Okay. All right. So, well, can I tell
everybody on that card was clean?
Yeah.
there was a guy in the co-main event named Geronimo dos Santos who just was Adonis of a big black Brazilian man, and I'm.
Has anybody ever failed a Ryzen test? No, seriously, has anybody ever come back?
I haven't heard anything.
I mean, they had, what's his name? That guy, who's that huge bodybuilder? That's like, oh, fuck the guy's name. Yeah, anyway, there's a huge bodybuilder.
But look at Mirko. Let's use Mirko, right? So yeah. He's a fine wine. He's getting better with age. Like, you know, obviously, you know, there's guys that, but it's legal there. And as long as you.
What's legal there?
HGA or testosterone replacement therapy, right? TRT, okay. Testosterone additives. As long as you disclose that, you know, hey, I have a prescription for this,
right.
You know, I'm going to be competing with that. So,
okay. Well, that's what I say. I think that there are certain guys like BJ Penn, Josh Koscheck, even Dan Henderson, who looked great in his last fight. But there are guys, Vitor Belfort, that are kind of not having good. Take Hendo out of there, but let's put Koscheck there. Let's put BJ Penn.
Fitch.
Well, Fitch looked good the other night.
Yeah, yeah. But did you see that's his first finish in like 3,647 days or something like that?
But I think there are guys they should go to Ryzen because they will, especially if they could take TRT.
Absolutely.
I mean, Vitor Belfort.
BJ, you know. Could you imagine BJ on some sort of performance enhancer? Just something to even the playing field.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I hate seeing BJ go out time and time again, and I'm. It's like
I don't want to see it. I'm sorry. I don't want to see it.
It's like you're that kid who knows that your alcoholic stepdad Santa. It's going to be great because you get to have the experience, but you know you're going to get let down.
But
at
it's
the
like
end of
that chick from The Real Housewives that like is like now 50 and going out partying at bars and dancing on tables.
Yeah.
And her face is pushed back and she's got four kids in the car and you're just like this is not fun anymore. It was fun back in the day. Every strip club has that stripper that has just been there way too long.
Yeah, but it doesn't stop you from throwing a power at her.
I don't know. There's always that time. I don't go to strip clubs anymore, but there was always that time where you see someone and you just get sad at a strip club.
And then so it's a pity dollar.
A pity dollar. Like, okay, here's the money, but you have to use this for. It's like when you ever see a homeless. Someone give a homeless guy money, and you're like, all right, here's a dollar, here's five.
But get a sandwich.
Get a sandwich, or it's sort of like that when you're at the strip club. Like, here's a dollar, but just use. No, don't use this on cocaine. Please, just feed your children. Like. But it's sort of like that's what BJ Penn and these guys are kind of becoming.
I hate to have to side with you on it. It is, but you know, in a world where I still think it's a witch hunt, man. We're looking for the wrong thing with you know USADA and testing these fighters and stuff like that, banning IVs and having all this. You know, either let everyone get gassed all the way up and have them fight like old Pride days, you know, or really take three or four more steps to get. Exact accurate testing because I still think that there's guys that are getting by on it. You know, there's always new drugs, there's always new cheaters, there's always new ways to get around the system. And I think there's still people that are doing it.
Right. I'm sure you are. I mean, have you ever been tempted? Has anybody ever come up to you and been like, hey, listen, I'm on some stuff and they can't detect it? And
it's not that. It's just when I first got into the UFC, someone told me if you're in the top 10, you're on something. If you want to be in the top 10, you got to get on something. And I was just like thinking about it, man. I was like, there's no way that everybody in the top 10 is on something. And then you start looking at who's popping when USADA, who were reigning champions that were just undisputed, undefeatable, you know, those guys, they all fell from grace quick.
Right.
Especially when USADA came in. So I was like, holy shit, maybe that was right. You know, they're not right, but they were accurate.
I mean, I know a lot of guys that know, you know, that's the thing. It's like when guys transfer gyms. A lot of times they go to the new gym, they tell the new gym who's on stuff in the old gym. And then all of a sudden, I knew guys that were fighting people that knew their opponents were going to be on shit.
Yep.
And that's got to be a scary feeling because you're like, oh, shit, you know, now my opponent is on something. And I know people say it doesn't help. It's got to help to some degree, right?
You know, this was a common misconception as well is as far as strength goes, right? It's not like like Yoel Romero and who's the other one? Hector Lombard. They got popped for like designer drugs, like bodybuilder drugs, right? When the majority of performance enhancing drugs are to recover. You know, you right. can't train like we do day in and day out, 3-4 times a day, beating your body down to shit and not recover properly. That's the biggest thing that, that steroids do, is it makes you recover so you can train hard your next session, right? Not so that we look like, you know, bodybuilders at a figure, you know, competition. It's just so that we can recover.
Now, is it soreness so you're not as sore?
Yeah, so you're not sore so that, you know, if you do tear something, it recovers quicker. You know, and that's what a lot of people don't understand. But with that in mind, knowing that your opponent's on something, right? So George Roop, who's built like me, skinny, tall, you know, he's I think he was the tallest bantamweight. He was 6'1" or 6'2".
Yeah, he was pretty good.
Right? He knocked out Brian Bowles, and Brian Bowles tested over Overeem's 18-1 level.
Wow.
That fight, Brian Bowles was 20-1 on his testosterone level, and he got beat. You know, so what does it say about a clean guy coming in and smoking a dude that's, you know, using performance-enhancing drugs and not getting a performance-enhance?
Well, also, probably, if you're on that stuff, maybe you could also have a false impression of how good you are.
Absolutely.
You're like, hey, 100%. I'm unbeatable. Not only am I training hard, but I'm taking stuff. Now who's going
to
beat me?
100%. And then let's go back to those champions that had that false sense of security. You know, and you look at the guys that were on the top for such a long time, and then they were like, okay, I got to clean up. USADA's in, you know, and now they go into these fights thinking like, hey, I'm real, and like they've had this push behind them the whole time, and they say, holy shit,
right?
It wasn't me,
right? Now you have a fight. You know, you're now in the Ryzen Grand Prix tournament.
Yes, sir.
Now what is this?
So, I don't know if you guys remember back in the day, 4 fights in one night, you know, K1's done it, you know, kickboxing still does it every once in a while, Glory does it, Bellator had it over a period of time, which is kind of like what Ryzen's doing. So, my first round is against Takafumi Otsuka, who's the Deep World Champion and World Series of Fighting Global Champion.
Okay.
So, my first round, I have a 2-time World Champion right out of the gate. That first round is July 30th.
What does he specialize in?
He's a wrestler. Good, strong wrestler. He's got a great, great shot, great takedown. I've looked at his last 2 fights. I don't think he's won. You know, he fought a Muay Thai guy with decent wrestling defense, and I thought that guy really picked him apart. But I guess in Deep, they have 5 judges instead of 3.
Okay.
So when they went to the decision, I heard, oh, you know, so-and-so. I was like, oh, he won. And then he goes, and then judge so-and-so said, I was like, how many fucking judges are judging this? So I didn't think he won that fight, but I guess in Japan, if you don't submit or knock the champ out, you're not going to be the champ.
Now, how many rounds are these fights that you're going to be in?
So normally it's a 10-minute first round and 5-minute second round, and these go back to unified mixed martial arts rules, so it's 3 5-minute rounds.
3 5-minute rounds.
And then the night of New Year's Eve, right, I'll fight once December 29th. I have December 30th off, and then I fight twice New Year's Eve.
Okay, so if you beat this guy, when you beat this guy,
yes,
you have the next day off to recover.
No, I have all the way to December to recover.
Oh, this is July 29th.
July 30th.
July 30th.
July 30th is the first round.
First round. And where is this fight?
This is in Saitama Super Arena in Saitama, Tokyo.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
And now who are we training with now to get ready for this guy?
Man, this kid, he's probably one of the most unknown, underrated guys I've ever trained with. But out of all the UFC guys, of all the Bellator talent, out of everybody that I've trained with all around the world, Gustavo Lopez at Extreme Couture is by far one of the best dudes I've ever trained with. I've never gotten my ass kicked consistently
really?
That much. Yeah, he's amazing.
Now, where can I see Gustavo? He's in Bellator, dude, follow, right?
No, he's at Combates America.
He's in Combates. Okay. Yeah.
If you guys want to follow the next true G, man, it's Gustavo Lopez. And I mean, I'm telling you that because I ask him, I'm like, dude, why are you not in the UFC? Why are you not in Bellator? You know, why are you, you know, not, you know, he's like, he's content where he's at. He loves being in Combates, but he goes, I know I'm ready for the UFC.
He was living on Misha's couch when I met him.
Yeah, dude, yeah. He's amazing, man. And that kid's, his wrestling game, his submission game, his striking game is so well-rounded for at the point he is in his career. I didn't learn half of the well-rounded shit till I got, you know, right before I got into the UFC. So he's been a tremendous training partner in preps for this. I mean, he's got amazing wrestling, amazing takedown, top control.
Now, what's the difference? You were at Greg Jackson's for a while.
Yeah.
And now you're here at Extreme Couture. What's the difference in those camps?
You know, both of them have a lot of star power. But the one thing that I do notice, and the reason that Extreme was my pick was because they individualize everyone's attention. You know what I mean? With so many different guys, you can see that it's easy to pick favorites. You know what I mean? Who's the bigger payday? Me or John Jones? You know, who's the bigger payday? Me or Cub Swanson? Who's the bigger payday? John Dodson or me? So, you know, I always was going to fall short on that. And at Extreme, even though, you know, Gray Maynard's a bigger payday than me, he's not getting any more or any less attention than I'm getting. And I really, really value that kind of attention. You know, I'm working with Ray Cepho, who's done the K1 tournament.
Yeah.
And, I picked his brain a little bit and I'm like, hey, you know, what do you do in the back to recover? How do you, and, one of the best pieces of advice I've got from, he goes, you can do all the icing. You can do all the holistic medicine doing that. He goes, but at the end of the night, when you figure it out, he goes, you're either a fucking man or you're not. He goes, I hurt my foot and they were pushing me up the stairs to the top of the stage where I had to walk down the long ramp. He goes, and I was hobbling up. And he goes, and as soon as I heard my music, it just clicked on and I walked down that ramp like nothing was wrong and I went out and won the tournament. So he's like, you can mentally just think about everything you're gonna do to heal up physically, but if you don't just think I'm the fucking best in the world when you're walking out there, no amount of recovery in the back's gonna help you.
It's like comedy, man. This is very, very similar to comedy. If I don't think I'm the funniest guy out there, I'm fucked.
You gotta be laughing at your own shit.
You gotta be laughing at your own shit. I'm like, this joke makes me laugh. If a joke makes me laugh, it's gonna work. But then there are jokes that I'm like, I know the crowd's gonna laugh at, that I'm like, this joke sucks. And you sort of have to have a fine. Now, Brian Caraway. Yeah. Is he still at Extreme Couture?
I haven't seen him in a while. I know he's been traveling the world and stuff, but...
What happened with him? What's going on? I know him and Misha broke up.
I have no idea. And that was another guy that I really enjoyed training with. You know, one of the top bantamweights in the UFC. And he's in the top bantamweights in the world. And I know he was in Thailand for a while and traveling. And I think he's back home in Washington right now.
Okay.
So I haven't seen him.
Is Misha still at the gym?
Yeah, I've seen Misha. She's there with Cindy Dandois and they were training the other day.
Is Johnny Nunez there?
He was in Boise, Idaho, I think, recently doing fundraisers for the wrestling program that got
Kevin Lee. He's there.
I saw Kevin Lee recently. Yes.
Yeah. Now, do you and Kevin train together?
I've never gotten rounds. I've wrestled and grappled with Kevin once, but we haven't gotten any rounds. He was getting ready for his fight over Chiesa this last time, and I usually try to stay away from dudes that are like in kill mode like that.
Yeah.
Especially someone as savage as Kevin, man. I truly believe he's going to be the next 155-pound world champion in the UFC.
He was at my show last night, and I go, give it up for Kevin Lee, one of the best in the world. If you don't believe him, just ask him. I'm like, Kevin Lee is so good that the guy doesn't even have to submit if he's fighting him. He'll just, you know, he'll get the win. Yeah, I like Kevin Lee a lot. He's a good dude.
Yeah, you can see that. There's just something about him, man. When he walks and he conducts himself, you can't help but buy into him being the next champ, man. He really, you know, I think against Conor, he's just gonna, you know, smother him if he wrestles him and submits him, and I just think that's a bad matchup, you know. And
against Conor, you think Kevin Lee could beat Conor McGregor?
Absolutely,
really,
absolutely. You know what's Conor's biggest thing? His left hand. You know, when you take that away, that's, you know, Chad Mendes laid the blueprint for beating Conor. If he would have done it on a full camp, that'd have been, you know, that'd have been great.
Now, what I think Conor Mayweather's going to go three rounds, maybe four, if Floyd wants it. He's going to stop him by cuts. Are you one of these guys who thinks that Conor's got a shot and is going to beat him?
You never count out a puncher chance, right? But I think it's going to be in 8 or 10 where
8 or 10?
8 or 10 when Mayweather puts him down.
Really?
There's too much money on the line to end it in 1 through 5.
But he's getting paid no matter what. It's not like it's...
Yeah. But you got to understand how the boxing world works. They tell you when this fight's going to end.
Really?
Right? Dude, it's...
No, they don't.
There's two... Bro, when the canvas and the mat material goes into the contract on, okay, we're going to have a stiffer mat versus a softer mat. You have somebody that's a runner, you want a softer mat so you tire their ass out.
Yeah, but like Pacquiao knocks out Ricky Hatton in 2 rounds.
Pacquiao, Ricky Hatton, that doesn't nearly have the amount of buzz around it that this fight does, dude. There's just too much money from everyone's pockets going into this fight to end in round 1 through 4.
I don't know. I mean, I think the longer it goes, the more McGregor has a shot to win. So why would Mayweather want to even keep it there? He's going to get this guy out of here.
Okay, so how many fights at the end of Floyd's career was he just starching fools and knocking them out right away?
Not many, but those were killers.
How many 12-round wars did Floyd go through of actually evading and counterpunching and doing stuff like that?
Most of them. Most of them, yeah.
Most of them, right?
Yeah.
That's going to be this fight. He's gonna tear Conor apart for 7-8 rounds.
I don't know.
And tire him out where to the point where Conor's hands are down by his waist and he's just walking towards Mayweather trying to fight him.
Maybe. I mean, yeah. I could see that happening too.
The closest thing I could think about this is Conor being a very unrefined Canelo.
He's not even in Canelo's. He's like an unrefined.
Continue that sentence. Continue that sentence.
You can't even compare the two.
Exactly. So who the fuck thinks Conor McGregor has a shot? Right?
Idiots. But
he's gonna come forward.
He's gonna come forward, but he's never had a pro boxing match before.
He's gonna get tired.
The best defensive boxer ever. I mean, this is just mismatch city. I hope Conor wins. Don't get me wrong. I'm rooting for Conor in this fight. I'm rooting for everybody who fights Conor in MMA usually, but in this fight, I want Conor to win.
Let's talk about what this does for the UFC and mixed martial arts and what this does for boxing.
Unless he wins, it does nothing for MMA.
Unless he wins. And what do you think it does for MMA?
If he wins, forget about it. It's now not only are these guys the best MMA fighters in the world, best fighters, now they're arguably they could beat up boxers too at their own sport. Not only boxers, the best boxer, but it's not going to happen.
But you know, I know that. You and I both know this, right? But the people, and we were just talking about this on MMA Junkie the other morning, was when you looked at the over-under for this and the betting lines, it looked like McGregor fans came out first and they were just like, oh, McGregor's the real deal. And that's why the split was so close. But now I feel like reality set in and now the Mayweather fans are like, come on, guys, let's really look at this. Because now I think the over-under's Mayweather like minus 7 something. Or
still too close. I mean, the fact that Holly Holm was a bigger underdog against Ronda Rousey than McGregor is against Mayweather in a different sport.
But there's still time. There's still time. Wait till...
It should be 20 to 1.
Yeah, just wait till fucking August 1st hits. Wait.
I mean, like, I bet on Chris Areola over Klitschko because it was 32 to 1 or something. And I'm like, you know what? Areola might get lucky, land a punch. Well, not against Klitschko, against Areola, against... the big, tall, black dude. What's his name? The guy from...
Anthony Joshua? No.
No, not Joshua.
The
other black guy. The guy's a monster. The guy's...
Tyson Fury?
No, he's from Alabama.
I can't remember. I don't follow boxing.
He's undefeated. He's like 32-0, 31 knockouts.
Oh, shit.
He's a beast.
So he's a 30...
He's a monster.
30-1 odds?
It was 30-1, but I'm like, Areola... Areola has some big wins over fighters, over actual fighters.
Yeah.
You know, versus McGregor has no wins over no boxers. But I don't know. What do I know? Look, if McGregor wins, I'll be very happy. I'll be smiling.
Here's the thing. So I love the Diaz brothers, right? They've always been super nice to me when I've met them. And so I don't want this to go taken on wrong ears. For boxing, they have mediocre boxing, right? In the boxing realm.
Yeah.
Right? I'm sure if they dedicated an entire camp to strictly boxing, they would have, you know, proficient boxing to compete. But Nate waxed Conor when you look at the amount of actual boxing technique that went into that fight, you know, Nate just put it on him. And that's what's going to happen with McGregor.
Yeah.
You know, the Mayweather-McGregor debacle.
I'm definitely going to watch it. I'm not going to pay for it. I'm not paying $80.
You know what? I am going to pay for it.
Why would you pay for this?
Because one, I get to have a cool ass barbecue. I get to talk shit with my friends about a whole bunch of fights.
I would pay for it if they put it on during a UFC event, so at least other fights would make up for it. Or if they did a whole bunch of like
we were talking
boxes.
About. What if Cub Swanson versus like you know another boxer?
Adrian Broner called out somebody.
Dude, they could have done. If you're gonna do it once, you might as well do it four
fucking
times.
That would be awesome. I'd watch, but then it would be like six boxers beat up six MMA guys in a row. That would be terrible for MMA, but I would still watch that.
Better. But does it even? Because we know Mayweather's gonna do what Mayweather does, right? And be 50-0. does this drive a stake into MMA? Like, what does this do for anything?
You the only thing it does
it just keep us in our fucking lane?
The only thing it does is at, like, the barbershops, you know, people be like, yo, he fucked that white boy up. Or they're going to be like, yeah, but he couldn't, even if, like, McGregor wins his next MMA fight, you're like, yeah, but what happened against Floyd?
But here's the thing. We've already seen this shit with James Toney and Randy. You know what I mean? And Randy fucking killed James Toney. Yeah.
But that didn't have the weight of this, though.
No, but why not?
Because James Toney was not in his prime. Randy was not in his prime. He was more in his prime than James Toney was. And Toney, at that point, was looking for a payday. We're talking about Mayweather, who's never lost, against McGregor, who's in his prime. Now they got two prime athletes. It's a difference. That's why it didn't. That's why it didn't.
I don't know, man.
People are still giving Toney a shot, actually.
It's really been... It's comedy in its finest, if you think about it. Every argument you've ever had, because I know you've talked about it at least 50 times this week.
Well, people keep asking me, yo, who do you think's going to... And I go, look, I equate it to football. Okay, let's look. Adrian Peterson, right?
Yeah.
Is a very fast guy in the NFL, and running is a big part of football. But he would get smoked by Usain Bolt in a track race.
Yeah, absolutely.
And this is basically the same thing, in my mind, of boxing is a component of mixed martial arts. Okay, but in pure boxing, he's going to get smoked. That's sort of, you could say, well, there's no puncher's chance in track. Usain Bolt can break his leg.
He's going to fucking trip?
He can break his leg, or he can
trip over something.
Or he could, that's the equivalent of this puncher's chance. Because you're talking about a guy, if we were talking about Ricky Hatton, if we were talking about Arturo Gatti, we're talking about guys that take a lot of punishment where that puncher's chance might actually, but in Mayweather's 49 fights, he's been hit cleanly.
Yeah, did you see what Dana was doing?
What?
Where he was, like, putting up on Instagram. If you go to his Instagram, he put up, like, three videos of like, the three worst hits Mayweather's ever taken.
Yeah.
And he's like, he can be hit, guys.
He can be hit by Shane Mosley, who I think was a gold medalist and one of the best boxers in
Mosley,
the world.
And then there was another one right after that where someone hit a right hand as soon as the bell landed.
Right.
Soon as the bell rang, the punch landed.
I mean, the closest guy to beat Mayweather was there were two guys that did good. There was Jose Luis Castillo, which I thought he might have won the first fight against Mayweather, maybe. And the drunken warrior, drunken master. There was a guy that would, like, dance. I forgot the guy's name. I think he passed away, actually. But he was a great boxer. But he would, like, dance.
The black guy, right? With the fro.
Yeah, that guy. Yeah. He did pretty well against Mayweather.
Well, because that means he's unorthodox.
Yeah.
Incredibly unorthodox.
He says that guy was the hardest guy he's ever fought.
Yeah, I just... I don't know, man. It's great for combat sports. And what a lot of people, you know, even though he's so arrogant about it and people say, you got to thank me. One thing that Conor's doing for guys like Nate and Nick, if Nate and Nick ever want to go have a boxing fight outside of their UFC contract, Dana's got to let them do it.
Yeah, but these guys are just going to get hurt. Tim Hay passed away recently.
Oh,
rest in peace, Tim Hay.
I don't even want to talk about that.
But that's what I'm saying. It's like, yeah, you can grab a UFC fighter that's going to be somewhat of a draw and put him in a boxing ring, but that's not a good idea for most UFC fighters.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Is like we're talking about safety versus making money. You know what I mean? There's a legal thing called the good and fair business practices, right? If Dana lets Conor go out and compete wherever he wants to go under UFC contract and he can box or Muay Thai or whatever he wants to do, but then someone else says, oh, well, I want to do that, and he goes, no. Now that's illegal.
Yeah, he can do it, but I don't think it's going to be good for the fighters themselves.
No, it's not. No, of course not. But
except the fact
when you got
a
family to feed and you need to get paid, at the end of the day, we're all doing this to get paid.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Unlike Chris, you know, guys like Chris Lytle who are a fire chief and making, you know, 100K on the side as a job, we don't have that luxury.
But,
you know what I mean?
By the way, I mean, you do own a gym, right?
Yeah.
How's that
it's going amazing, man. 10th Planet Tucson's blowing up. We just had two guys fight out here recently at Tough Enough from Toro Tech Mixed Martial Arts, was my gym. We got smoked by Syndicate and Extreme Couture. And
really?
Yeah. I had to walk into Extreme and I just hang my head a little bit.
Are you going to use your 10th Planet Jiu-Jitsu in any of your fights?
I put Kawajiri in lockdown and I elbowed him a couple times.
Put him in lockdown, but are you submissions?
Crackhead. Sorry, my bad. Yeah. I'm looking to submit, man. I'm really looking to Twister somebody. I've been finding Twister a lot lately. And
really?
If I Twister this kid, I'll shit a chicken.
That's hilarious.
Immediately.
Now your wife.
Yes.
I love your wife. She's watching Thank you, Mercedes. But she's in your corner, right, when you fight?
This last fight she was. That was the first time, probably the last time.
Bad idea, right? You don't want to hear your wife yelling at you during your fight.
Well, here's this thing. So I'm mounted, and the crusher's on top of me. And the coolest thing I've ever seen in my life in any organization I've ever fought on was a clock in every corner post of the ring. So if you're on your back or you're on top, you can just look down the canvas and see the clock. She goes, "You got 45 seconds left." And I look over and it says 1:20. I was like, "Bitch, you lying."
Oh, wow.
I was like, "You fucking lying to me."
So your wife, you knew she was lying.
I was like, "Oh, I'm fucking hitting you."
But when your wife's telling you like what to do in a fight, are you just like, because I know like I love my dad. He was my manager for a long time and it worked well. But then there were times it's like, because it's your dad telling you and like there's a part of you that's like, there's all this other stuff.
No. She's probably one of the people that knows me the best. She knows when I'm stagnant. She knows when I need to pressure. She knows when I need to wrestle and when I need to jiu-jitsu. She knows when the wrestling needs to end and the jiu-jitsu needs to begin, which is a lot of people don't understand that. I'm sure there's listeners that are like, "What do you mean?" You know, there's a time where you need to continue to wrestle and keep somebody at their red line, yeah. Right? And then you jiu-jitsu, right? You look for a submission. You look to transition. She knows that. There's a lot of people that will just go, you know, wrestle. Oh, there's a submission. Oh, there's a submission.
Right.
You know, so the only other thing that I had a gripe with her was the time, right?
The time you got mad about.
And then there was the second one,
but
right?
But couldn't she say to you, like, "Listen, get to submission and I'll give you a great blowjob later." I'd be like, wouldn't that be as your wife, right?
I might have finished them right there.
Really?
I might have got that.
So Mercedes, if you're listening, that's how you motivate
him. That's how you corner.
Like, "Hey, you can bang my friend or my sister or something or whatever."
I don't know about that.
Okay.
She hasn't got friends.
Okay. Really? I could tell. She seems like a... Now you're staying with her parents right now?
I'm staying with her mom, yeah.
Is that rough?
No, I mean, her mom's nice, and we go... She took me to dinner on Sunday at the M, where we had the most amazing seafood buffet ever. That's prime good. Rib, everything.
Do you guys have sex in the house or no?
Me and Mercedes, yeah. Or me and the mom?
No, you and the Mercedes.
No, she's not here.
What?
Mercedes isn't here.
Oh.
She's in Arizona, so I'm here by myself.
Wow. How long have you been by yourself for?
2.5 weeks now.
Well, wow.
And then I'm here for another 2 weeks, so I've been away from everybody. Like, today I was pretty bummed because I miss my sons, man. I really want to take them to see fireworks and stuff like that.
How old are they again?
One's 9, one's 3.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. So, okay, so you missed, so Mercedes has the 4 kids right now, or the 3 at least.
Well, yeah, the 3 ones for sure.
Got it. It's got to be kind of a relief though, right?
I mean, it is and it isn't. You know, I always tell them that they're a distraction to me, and the more and more that I start learning, you know, who I am, I realize that they're 3 of the biggest driving components in my career.
You got to feed them.
Yeah, but they're a distraction as well. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like not hearing, you know, "Fucking quit blowing my hair, Jet, fucking knock it off." I'm not having to sit here and like...
Do they watch your fights?
Yeah, the little one does a lot. Cameron, if my stepdaughter Cameron's with her dad, she'll make her dad either go to Buffalo Wild Wings or go to Hooters when I was, you know, fighting in the UFC, and she'll sit down and watch the card. Or she'll make her dad buy Fight Pass.
And you're cool with her dad? You guys?
Yeah. I mean, we got a great relationship.
Okay.
So we actually had it out a few times. I used to be a bouncer at a club, and he would come in and you know, cause trouble and stuff like that. And, like, I would have to be like, "Yo, Mike, what the fuck?" But now, you know, we have this really good dynamic, and he trusts me with, you know, teaching his daughter certain things and you know, really stepping in as a stepfather.
Is he a fighter too or no?
No, he's just this big motherfucker, dude. He's this giant, like, vanilla gorilla. He's just huge.
Right.
So I try not to step on his toes.
Where did you meet Mercedes?
Where did he meet?
No, you. Where'd you meet her?
Me? Talking shit on Facebook.
You met her talking shit on Facebook?
Yeah, I was talking shit to her on Facebook.
Why?
Because I had been... So, rewind, like, 2009. I had started fighting for this promotion called World Fighting Federation. And I'd been begging the promoter for, like, these $150 tickets for my mom and you know, my aunt. Or my mom and my brother. And he's like, We don't have those tickets. I'm like, "You have those seatings. Like, what the fuck are you doing with those tickets?" The next post, I see this girl saying, "I have 6, you know, blah, 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 blah tickets." And I was like, "Bitch, who is you?"
Yeah.
Why the fuck do you get these tickets? I'm fighting.
Right.
And you're just, you know. And so we ended up having this playful shit talk back and forth together. And then it blossomed into what it is today.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
That's crazy. And you and her have a kid. She has two kids. And you had a kid before her.
Yeah.
And who was the girl before her?
She was this Hawaiian girl that I went to school with since kindergarten. So we dated in kindergarten. We dated in seventh grade. We dated in eighth grade. We dated as juniors in high school. And then as a freshman, sophomore in college.
Wow. Yeah. What happened to her?
She's still in Tucson giving me fucking headaches.
Why is she giving you headaches?
Child support, man. The Uncle Hinach problems.
Wow. Got it.
The Uncle Hinach problems, you know?
Got it. Now, wow. But when she sees that you win fights, is she like the first one?
The courts are calling me immediately saying like, we know you want to fight. You need to make a payment. And I'm like, I was like, you guys act like I'm a deadbeat dad. Like my son's with me every weekend. When he's with me, he wants for naught. You know, he's fed, he's clothed, he has a roof over his head. I pay when I get a fight. And they don't understand that it's not like a job where you get a stipend or a salary or anything like that. You know, when I get paid, I go and make a lump sum payment. She gets all this money up front. And so in the time that, you know, I've had to pay this, I've had my truck repossessed. I've been evicted from two places. She's gotten two brand new vehicles and gotten into like three new homes. So
Jesus.
Yeah, it's Arizona's
probably. How old are you? 31?
I'm 31, dude. Arizona's like the worst father state ever. Like unless the mom's like a meth head with crime charges, you're not getting your kid.
And you're half Mexican. What's your nationality?
I'm half Mexican, half Italian.
Oh, okay. Wow. Who's Mexican? Your mom?
My mom. Yeah, my dad's Italian. They're from Pennsylvania.
Let's talk about the fights coming up this week.
Yeah.
Tisha Torres, Friday night, UFC Fight Pass. This is a good fight. Juliana Lima versus Tisha Torres.
Yeah.
Who do you like in this fight?
I like Tisha, man. You know, I just think she's – let me see the Lima girl. Yeah, I like Tisha in this fight for sure. She's just too much, man. Her output is just 1,000 miles an hour, and I love that about somebody that's going into a fight.
Tisha, I mean, the first fight on Fight Pass, she's 8-1, won her last fight. It's kind of weird. I you know, there's a girl they should push. I don't know why they're not pushing her.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard, dude. There's a lot of people.
A lesbian too, and they're making her a lesbian now. Oh no, she's a lesbian now, which is probably good for girls that, you know, they're unsure and they want to go the other way. She's a role model to all those.
Like Tisha Torres definitely needs to get pushed up to the top of a card for the UFC because you got guys like Jeremy Kimball who I've never heard of. You know what I mean? And those guys are on the main card. Like, there's tons of.
Guys, won, though. That was a good
win. Yeah, I know. I think it was a great win.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying is like you look at a card now and you're like, who are these guys?
Not only that, Tisha Torres, who grew up doing I think she was like a black belt when she was younger, grew up doing karate, role model. She's in college right now.
Yeah.
She just graduated. I think she's getting married to Raquel Pennington. They got a beautiful relationship. They're both really sweet people. Never heard anything bad about her. And you know, she's 8-1. Meanwhile, like Paige VanZant. No disrespect to Paige, but they could give her a lot of pushes, and Tisha's I don't know, sometimes I feel like with this whole, you know, they're with the whole WME sale,
yeah,
you know, like the UFC, let's just keep it real. I mean, they've in the past couple years, as far as star power, they've lost a lot of stars.
Yeah, for sure.
Ronda Rousey being the biggest star they had, GSP, who's been sidelined for a while,
yeah.
Anderson Silva, John Jones, who's hard to promote because of...
You don't know what's
going
to happen,
you
man.
You don't know what's going on. Yeah, there. So it seems like somebody said, okay, well, let's create some stars. Let's put people like Sage
Northcutt, and
Paige and
Connor. At least for the most part, these people are extremely talented. You know what I mean? And obviously, they're good-looking for the WME IMG image. But when you put them up against... Brian Barberina, Sage Northcutt, man, like that was a nightmare waiting to happen.
And the thing is let's let these stars earn their star power.
Yes.
Nobody gave GSP a push in the beginning, even in the middle. He had to go out and fight all these savages. So we're talking about beating Matt Hughes and all these amazing fighters. No one gave Anderson Silva a push. Nobody even Conor McGregor. In some ways, you know, fought the best. I mean, he has not ducked anybody.
Yeah.
Look at who he's fought of Eddie
Alvarez.
Well,
I mean, I think all of his matchups have come with a very precise scientific timing.
But he still knocked out Aldo in
exactly.
9 seconds.
Exactly.
And he still beat, you know, Chad Mendes. Yeah, Mendes was whatever. Okay. But even the guys he fought, Poirier is a monster, even to get to that
yep.
level. My point is that let's let them earn their star power.
For sure.
And Tisha Torres is, in my mind, a star. I'm a little biased because she's a
super
friend of mine and comes
super
to my
underrated.
Shows. But she's a girl that, if I have a daughter, I would want her. She could look up to Tisha Torres.
Well, I've been watching her since she was in Invicta. You know what I mean? Even other shows like the she fought in a Florida show. I can't remember if it was CFA or something else, but she's been a beast for a very long time.
Yeah,
man.
Exactly. Gray Maynard versus Ishihara. This should
that's
be
Taru, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's the guy that's always like, my bitches. Blah,
yeah,
blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, Maynard, look, Gray Maynard, I've been a fan of Gray Maynard for a long time. I think if he doesn't beat Ishihara, he might want to think of the next phase of his career because he's just, you know, there's another guy who, if he goes to Ryzen, might have a resurgence. But if you look at the last fight, he lost to Ryan Hall. That was a very ugly fight. Granted, Ryan Hall is a really hard guy to look good against, if not probably one of the hardest
that
guys.
That was one of the most bizarre fights, too, because we thought we were going to see a lot of wrestling and leg entries and all kinds of stuff, and Ryan came out with some weird hook kick that landed like 16 times on Gray.
And Maynard lost the fight. I mean, granted, you know, did he get beat up? No, but he lost the fight. If you can't figure out what that guy's doing, you lose the fight.
Yeah.
I mean, it reminded me of a video game where somebody has some kind of a cheat code or has that one move that you just can't.
It's the fucking low kick, right?
Yeah,
in
you're
Mortal
like,
Kombat, and you're like, God
damn it. And he wins every time.
Yeah, exactly. And you're like, you're a fucking cheater.
Yeah, that's kind of what happened. But this fight, I mean, you go experience, you go this, you go that. It should go to Maynard, but the chin.
Yeah, that's the other thing. If you take away the weak chin that Gray has taken, because he's been in so many amazing wars, right? He's one of those salt of the earth kind of guys that you can't help but root for.
Right.
You know, if he has a chin that's 100%, Taru's got no chance. You know what I mean? He's going to get wrestled. He's going to get punched hard. Gray's got amazing boxing, amazing head movement. But, you know, Taru's working at Alpha Male, and he's got an amazing camp behind him. I think he's really feeling himself. You know, he's buddies with the champ, Cody Garbrandt. And I think some of that confidence and, you know, shit does rub off. So he may be feeling himself going into this fight. But again, Gray's my boy. I got to go with Gray.
I got to go with Gray, too. Have you been training with him?
Not this camp. No, I came late. Everybody was already, you know, pretty prime focused and no contact really. Like, you know, Kevin was no contact. Gray's no contact. So all of them were just focused on weight cut.
Now, what was I going to say about Gray? I have a theory that Frankie Edgar takes people's souls. If you look at guys who fight Frankie Edgar, they're never the same afterwards. BJ Penn, I don't think, has won a fight since fighting Frankie Edgar.
Jesus.
Maybe the draw with John Fitch, but I think that was maybe even before Frankie. Maybe that was after. Who else? Cub Swanson after Edgar. Now he's looking good again.
Yeah.
But he got beat
took
by
– Took a second.
Took a second. Got beat by Holloway.
Yeah. I want to see that matchup again, by the way.
Gray Maynard – has a losing record against.
But how old is Gray right now?
67. I don't know. He's old. He's got to be up there, man. I mean, shit, fucking. It should be black and white, fucking Maynard.
Oh
not Gray.
My god,
so,
Jesus.
But yeah, I just think Edgar takes people's souls. I do. That's my theory. You know. For a while, it was like Jennifer Lopez. If you dated her, your career was done.
Yeah.
Look at Ben Affleck, now he's doing well.
Yeah,
but,
P. Diddy for a while just
P.
went quiet.
P. Diddy, Mark.
I think he changed it. Did he change his name to P. Diddy during that
marriage?
There
was something strange. The other guy, Mark, what's his name? The singer?
Anthony?
Yeah, I mean, he hasn't had a hit since, I mean, maybe one or two, but I know he's big in Latin America. Basically, Edgar and J-Lo, they should fuck each other and see who's...
And
anyway.
They would just go like this, look.
Yeah, the whole world would stop. Yes.
Just fucking... Go into oblivion.
So I'm
going
to be there. Also, Jessica I is fighting Aspen Ladd.
Isn't Jessica on like a 4-fight losing streak?
I think it's five.
Five.
Aspen Ladd is good. But
how does she have a job still?
Good question. I mean, she's only lost to really good girls. It seems like she lost to, I think, Zingano. She lost to Juliana Pena.
Well, I mean, everyone's really good. You know what I mean?
It's different when you're guys and girls.
But the guys division, you know, you go on a 5-fight skid, bye.
It seems that way. I mean, you're right. There's less depth in the women's division, as well as they seem to keep people around from other countries. Like if you're from England, you could lose 4 or 5.
Well, yeah, but
if you're from
Because in your defense, like Brad Pickett, or in his defense. Brad Pickett was like on a 4-fight losing skid, right? But that dude either knocks you the fuck out or gets knocked the fuck out. Yeah. People want to see that shit.
Yeah, I know. It's strange. It's strange sometimes they cut someone after one loss, but they'll keep people around after 4 or 5.
Yeah.
It's no, I don't know what the rhyme or reason. I don't know. But I hope Jessica I wins this fight. She came to my show. She's a cool chick. I've hung out with her before. It's like hanging out with a guy. Like some of these female fighters, like, not, I mean, just like, they're just like cool. Like, not that women aren't cool.
Hanging out with a dude.
But it's just, they have, she has
shits
that.
Shits with
like,
the door open.
Yeah.
Makes,
you know,
beef jerky.
Just like, it's just a cool, like, yeah. Curses. And,
I got you.
Yeah. She's, so, Ed Herman versus CB Dalloway?
I got CB.
Really?
Yeah. I think Ed's flat, man. Like, he looked flat against Derek Brunson, who's, you know, a wrestling-based guy with you know, aggressive striking. I think CB, I've been watching CB training, and he's just looking savage, man.
Where's he training now?
So, after Power MMA closed down, do you remember Eric Larkin? He was a NCAA division national champion. He won the Dan Hodge Award.
Okay.
He fought in Bellator once, I believe, way back in the day. They opened up Thoroughbred Wrestling Academy, and all the big names from Power are at Thoroughbred now. So, Hannon Burrell, Ryan Bader, CB Dalloway, and then,
you think Bader beat Phil Davis? I thought Phil won.
I didn't get
fight.
To see the fight, dude. I didn't get to Phil see the fight. I forget what I was doing, but, I didn't get to see the fight.
So, okay, so we're picking CB in that one. I think it's a good pick. Angela Hill versus Ashley Yoder. Who I like her nickname Spider Monkey. Not Angela Hill. That would be
which
terrible.
Which one's Yoder? She's from, she's from Team Quest?
Yeah. I think she is from Team Quest, yeah. She's fighting. I think so. I think she's from Team Quest. I got Hill on that one.
Yeah, Angela Hill looked great, man. You know, for Muay Thai people to come in and learn some wrestling defense, some takedown defense, I think Muay Thai fighters with wrestling defense are some of the most unstoppable fighters that you could have. It's the best kind of mix between the two in combat sports.
And then the main card, Marcel Fortuna versus Jordan Johnson. I don't know these guys.
Jordan Johnson. Actually, my guy that fought it tough enough fought Jordan Johnson in his debut. I think Jordan weighed in at 235 and Dion weighed in at 205. And Jordan wrestled for the University of Iowa.
Wow.
He's another guy there out of Arizona now, out of Power. Amazing wrestling. I think he's strong. I don't know who the Fortuna guy is.
I mean, 7-0 versus 9-1. Johnson 7-0.
I don't know, man. That's a
Brad Tavares versus Elias Theodoro.
I like both guys.
I know. They're
I
both
like
friends
them both,
of mine.
Bro.
This is hard. I mean, Tavares' weakness seems to be wrestling, and Elias is one of those grinder guys who just, you know, he's a really good athlete. He's a really good athlete, and he knows he doesn't have much experience in fighting, and that's almost his best quality.
Yeah, well, we were talking about how he gets busy and looks busy doing a whole bunch of nothing, but he's a grinder, right? So, again, Brad's my teammate. I got to go with Brad. He's got amazing striking, another dude that works with Ray Sefo, you know what I mean, and always working on every aspect of his game. I think we'll see a different as far as that wrestling style.
But even Elias, even when you beat Elias, he's only lost once, 14-1. It's almost like you can't look good. It's almost like he's in some ways a Clay Guida type.
Did you ever wrestle that kid that you were like, I know I'm going to beat this kid, but it's not going to be a good match.
It's going to be 5-3 or something.
It's like wrestling a bag of wrenches. Like you're going to get like elbow and like a headbutt. Yeah. And like you just, he's very clunky.
Uh-huh.
That's that fight.
That's Elias in a nutshell. But the thing about him, though, is that what's dangerous is that he knows that.
Yeah.
Which is what's – people say he's very cocky. He's not. He's actually – if you talk to Elias, he's very down to earth and he's very humble and he's very aware of how experienced he isn't. And in some ways, that's dangerous because when you got those guys who like, I'm the greatest in the world, and then they get knocked out.
Yeah.
Versus I'm not the greatest.
So you know he's working hard no matter what all the time.
Yes.
You know what I mean? He where he lacks technique and experience, he will surely make up for in cardio and outworking, you know, opponents. So I understand that aspect.
So Mark Diakis, he's the guy that like
I'm going with that dude. I don't even care who he's fighting.
Dracar Close.
Yeah, I know. I trained with Dracar. We started at the same jiu-jitsu academy. He's a very grinding wrestler, but Diakese's got dynamite in his hands, dude.
So, okay, even though you train with this guy.
Yeah, I mean.
They're both undefeated.
Yeah, I mean, I think that Diakese kid is just something phenomenal, and Drakkar, like I said, if Drakkar can get the wrestling game going early and put him on his back and really start smashing early, that might be the turning point of the fight right away. But if he lets Diakhaizi find his range,
is there a chance that Diakhaizi has just been smoking people out, that he gets a little bit too, believes his own hype? And I mean, we've seen that happen.
All the time.
You know, we've seen these guys knock out someone, you know, 3 first-round knockouts.
And then they hunt for it. Then they look for it.
And then they're in the second round, and they're, like, looking around, and they're like, oh, holy shit.
Hey, coach, you assured me I was the best.
Yeah.
Coach, you told me I was the best.
Could that happen here?
Yeah, very well. Because, again, Drakkar's one of those grinder dudes. You know, I've seen him from his first fight. And, you know, again, like I said, I've trained with him in jiu-jitsu. I've trained wrestling with him. He trained with Drew Fickett with me. So I know exactly what he's capable of. I've even had one of my fighters fight against him. And, you know, he can put everything together, on, what is that, Friday? I think he does have a good chance. But again, if he lets Diakhaizi get range and really let that right hand go, it's not going to be good.
How's his grappling, Drakkar?
Jiu-jitsu?
Yeah.
He's a purple belt, but I mean, you know, it's just, you don't know. Again, it's hard to judge British wrestling and jiu-jitsu, you know what I mean? So
he's from Michigan, it says.
No, the other guy.
Oh, the other guy. It says from the Congo.
I think he's fighting out of London. If you listen to him speak, he's
speaking. Yeah, it sounds like that. It says Congo on the thing. All right, I got it. Okay, I'm telling you what it says. I'm just reading what
I feel like. That was maybe MMA roasted content.
No, I didn't put it. Yeah, better jokes than that. All right, Michael Johnson versus Justin Gaethje. This is your boy,
I'm
right?
I'm super biased, bro. Michael Johnson's a savage. But if you look at what Khabib did to him and just really kept that grinding pressure. We haven't seen Justin wrestle in 15 fights. I think he's taken one guy down.
But he gets hurt in every single one of his fights.
Yeah, but that's like the most amazing part of it, right? Is like, it looks like he's about to get...
But when's his luck going to run out?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's a dangerous game to play of, I get hurt and come back. Because sometimes you get hurt and guys will finish you. Granted, Michael Johnson is another guy who gets hurt pretty... This could be
quick,
but... Okay, let's go advantages. Wrestling. Both same, right? I mean, they're both, I think, D1. He's a D2 wrestler or D1 wrestler?
D1, he wrestled for the University of Northern Colorado, was a 3-time All-American, 2-time All-American.
And Johnson has some good wrestling accolades, so we're going to go wrestling even.
Yeah.
We're going to go striking.
Man, you know, Johnson works with Henry Hooft, right? And he's got good Dutch-style kickboxing. And then Justin works with who's the guy in Colorado at Grudge?
Oh, what?
He's on the tip of my tongue.
Are you talking about TJ Dillashaw's old coach?
No.
Grudge. Oh, Hume? No, that's in somewhere else. I don't know.
Anyways, that coach's striking is very tactical.
He's Pat Barry's coach?
Yeah, Rose Namajunas, Pat Barry, Matt Lopez. I mean, he's a very, very calculated tactician. I see his face, but I just can't hear his name yet. But Trevor Whitman,
right.
So Whitman's tactics are second to none, man. He's very, very smart, very, very calculated. And I think the wrestling's even and the striking is about
the
even.
The speed, you got to go to Michael Johnson.
For sure.
Okay, so he's got the speed, the chin. I would say Gaethje.
Gaethje, for sure. That dude, he's just taken truck hit after truck hit from Luis Palomino, and you know, he just kept going.
I know.
You know, you couldn't stop him.
I'm picking Johnson on this fight. You're picking Gaethje.
I got him.
All right, so the next day, which is Saturday night, on the Fight Pass prelims, Trevor Giles versus James Bochnevich. You know who these guys are? No. All right, Cody Stamann. Was Tarion Ware, my man Tarion Flash Ware.
Oh, he's in the UFC now?
Yeah.
What?
He got signed last week.
Who pulled out?
He's fighting Cody Stamann, who's like 13-1 grappler. I think he's out of your gym, right?
Cody Stamann?
Yeah.
From where?
I think he's out of your gym.
He looks like an unlocked character.
Yeah, he's 13-1.
Yeah, he looks like the guy you have to beat in Mortal Kombat at the very, very end.
With one split decision loss. I think he's from the Midwest. Midwest grappler, and Tarion's one Achilles heel is grappling. But if it goes on the feet, Tarion's going to beat him.
Yeah, Tarion's a strong southpaw. Yeah. I've studied him many times. I thought when I actually fought Joe Soto, I thought I was going to fight Tarion. And If Stamen's the guy that I'm thinking of, I think I'm going with Stamen for sure.
Why?
Because he's got amazing grappling. He's a great wrestler. One of those grinding guys.
This guy right here.
Yeah, the kid with long hair. Yeah, he's tough, man.
Have you trained with him?
Never, but I've watched him a lot. That's another guy that I've always kept my eye on because, I just got to always monitor my division.
Rob Font is taking on Douglas Silva DeAndre.
I like Rob Font, man. He's got a great coach. He's got great striking.
Who's his coach?
All
right, but whoever is his
Italian guy, the Italian guy that runs production for UFC.
Oh, out of Mark Delgrati.
Yeah, Mark Delgrati. That's his striking coach. So,
oh, good.
Yeah, he's got great Muay Thai. He's very long, very rangy, got a lot of power.
I think Friday so far has a better card than Saturday.
For sure.
So far. But now we're getting to the prelims.
We knew everybody on Friday.
Yeah.
We already don't know three people on this card.
Yeah, I know. Jordan Mean is taking on Bilal Muhammad.
Bilal's the guy that fought our boy Allen, right?
Yeah,
right?
Bilal's tough.
He's tough, man.
He beat the kid from Looking for a Fight.
Yeah, Jordan Mean's tough too, though, dude. Yep. Like, that's another dude he's had a long career. His dad's had a long career. You know what I mean? He's very experienced. That's a tough fight. I'm going to go Bilal Muhammad on that, honestly.
I'm going Bilal because he trains with Ben Askren. Even though he lies to us, he came in the podcast and said that CM Punk was beating Askren in wrestling in practice and was outstriking Anthony Pettis.
Excuse
me. I'm like, come on, man.
Is he on what drugs? Did you ask him what drugs is on?
I'm like, I understand he's your boy, but let's keep it real. Thiago Santos taking on Gerald Meerschaert. All right. Chad Laprise is Brian Lacomozzi. I got to go with Brian based on his brother, Chris.
Gerald Meerschaert?
Yeah, Gerald Meerschaert.
I'm going with Thiago Santos.
Yeah, me too. I don't know. Gerald follows me on Twitter, so I'm going with him. Chad Laprise is Brian Lacomozzi.
I'm going to go with Chad Laprise.
Really? Why?
Because I know who he is. And the other, because he's
the guy's Chris's brother, though.
Chris Camozzi's brother.
Yeah. All right. Travis Brown against Alexei Olnik. I know Travis Brown left his camp, training with Josh Barnett. Supposedly, life's back together.
That's Alexei Olnik?
Yeah.
That's a toss-up, man. On heavyweights, I don't know.
Whoever gets hit first loses.
Yeah, I don't know.
Travis Brown, though, if he loses this, I think that'll be four in a row. And we're talking about a guy who, like, I remember at the MMA Awards got, like, best newcomer and was, going every award. Man, I'm telling you, sometimes you get that.
You know,
you get that A-list vagina. Just
can we
every
stop
time.
Real quick? Because I want to. I've been telling people this a long time. You're like, the UFC signs people to 4-fight deals and 5-fight deals. And if you look at every other major league sport, soccer, baseball, basketball, football, what kind of deals do they get? They get 5 years.
Yeah.
X amount of money, right?
Right.
And they let the players go through a progression, which all players do, right? They have peaks, they have valleys. And sometimes valleys last, and then their resurgence is amazing. You know what I mean? But I think if you let a fighter go through a progression and let him just flow without even worrying about his 4-fight losing skid, maybe he has one of the best resurgences of career. But if you're constantly worried about losing your fucking job, that's stressful as fuck.
Maybe yes and no, but then you get like Takanori Gomi, who's been stopped 4 fights in a row in the first round. Eventually, you got to say, listen, this is just not.
Because, yeah, for sure.
I mean, and you got to make, you have to make room for the new guys that are coming up that are 11-0 or 15-1 or 20-0 in the RFAs and the LFAs.
But here's the thing is like those guys that are 15-1, I mean, I've literally been looking at dudes that are 10-0 and those fuckers got one, like a guy on their record that's 1-22 or 3-16. No, and I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah, but then there are guys that don't.
Yeah. Okay. Very few and far between, though.
Okay, but
very
a guy like Tarion Ware.
Tarion's fought everyone, man.
So should Tarion Ware? You got. I understand what you're saying. I think maybe two fight definite or three. I understand maybe two or three, but you can't give a guy a 5-fight. If a guy loses 4 in a row, all first round.
That's it. I think 4 is the magic number on that. If you give a guy a 4-fight deal, the UFC usually cuts you after a 2-fight skid, right?
Yeah.
Let him lose all 4 fucking fights.
Yes,
because then
I know. Yes and no. Because
how long can that take? It can take 2 years. It can take 2 years. There's guys that don't fight for 2 years all the time.
I understand the pressure of people fighting not to lose because they want to keep their job, and that can make for boring fights and bad
all the time.
Fights. And I understand that. I mean, there's all kinds of. First of all, when you get paid more, that pressure goes out the window a little bit. So that's really the issue here. If a guy, I mean, if you're gonna, if you're getting $15,000 a fight and you're like, fuck, I gotta win, versus if you're getting $100,000, you know, it's a lot. You could,
yeah, my motivation's different.
Yeah, exactly.
Trust me.
So really, I think it's the base pay or the pay, not just the base pay. Anthony Pettis versus Jim Miller. I got Pettis.
I think he's due for something solid.
Yeah. Verdum versus Overeem.
I gotta go with Overeem, man.
Why?
I just think if you look at everybody that he's rematched, he's done well against. You know what I mean? He's fixed some stuff. And I think dude, he's just a legend, and his kickboxing is amazing. The knees that he throws on the inside are world ending. You know, I think I called it his last fight. I said he's gonna win by a knee against Mark. It was Mark Hunt, right?
Yep.
Yeah. Sure enough, short knee inside to the chin. So I think he beats Verdum as long as he stays off the ground. Yeah. I think we're solid.
Curtis Blaydes versus Daniel Amalanchuk.
That guy's got the coolest fucking name in the world.
Curtis Blaydes?
Curtis Blaydes.
He's a good wrestler, too.
Curtis Blaydes.
Yeah, yeah, he's a badass. Curtis Blaydes should win this fight. Yoel Romero versus Robert Whittaker. See, now we're getting to the...
Yoel Romero's just going to dog Whittaker.
Really?
Yeah. I think he's just going to take him down and just dog him.
Even though he's 40 years old and yeah, man, the other guy's in his prime.
Dude, I got to go with Yoel.
I don't know.
Who's recently knocked Yoel out?
Nobody.
Exactly.
Okay, but he's been buddy. He but
when's Tim the last Kennedy? Time? When's the last time this Whittaker kid submitted somebody?
It's been a while.
Exactly.
But he looked great against Jacare.
Yeah. But what did he do to Jacare?
He knocked him out.
Okay. When does Jacare knock somebody out? Like, you gotta look at like Yoel Romero makes everybody look like shit.
Tim Kennedy beat him. Well, almost beat him, but the whole stool thing. You could argue that, what's his name? Derek Brunson was beating him up until the third round.
I don't think I've ever seen that fight. Derek's like one of my dudes.
Weidman, it was even until that knee.
Isn't every fight like even until something happens?
All right, I'm going with
that. How about I was beating Thomas Almeida until I got knocked the fuck out?
You were. I'm going with Whittaker in this. I don't know why. Oh, I don't know why.
I want to because he's a young kid and he's got all the opportunity. Let's both agree on this one. Either one of these guys is going to be the next world champion.
Bisbing. Biggs was going to beat everybody. My man, Bisbing's going to beat everybody. Yep, I got Bisbing.
Oh, man,
Bisbing's on Team Roasted.
You're a good comedian.
He's on Team Roasted.
You're a good comedian.
Amanda Nunes versus Shevchenko. I got Nunes. She came to my show last night. Got to go for Nunes.
You know, this is interesting. I've talked about this fight several times. Shevchenko's, I believe, a purple belt in jiu-jitsu. She's got really, really good high-level jiu-jitsu. 8-time Muay Thai world champion, I believe. And decent wrestling. She's putting it together, right? She's putting it together. Amanda Nunes is in that point in her career where she's unbeatable. You know, and she's at that John Jones level. She's at that Anderson Silva streak. She's at that level where she believes in herself. She knows she's the world champion, and it's hers to keep. And I think I'm going to go with Nunes on that one as well.
I'm going Nunes also. Well, listen, where can people watch your next fight?
If you guys go to fight.tv, it's FITE.TV, July 30th from Saitama Super Arena. I believe it's $14.99 pay-per-view. There's going to be great fights on that card. Former UFC flyweight title contender Kyoji Horiguchi's fighting. Against Hideo Takoro, who's they call the Cinderella Man. He's another legend in Japanese MMA. Myself, I'm fighting Takafumi Otsuka, who's 2-time world champion, currently the Deep and World Series of Fighting global champion. I'm back at my weight class. I feel more confident than ever. I've got a great camp, great coaching staff. I'm healthy. And, you know, that's the biggest thing going into this fight is that just being healthy. So you guys can tune in. I believe it's at like 3 a.m. though, so either wake up early or go to bed fucking late, but make sure you guys tune in and watch me.
If I want to sponsor you and see my stuff on your shorts, how does that happen?
Yeah, hit either inbox me or Luta Elite MMA, which is my wife management company, Luta MMA, and just find it on Facebook or on Twitter, and then inbox us and let us know. I got a couple more spots on the shorts or on the t-shirt if you guys want to jump on for sponsorship. I'd greatly appreciate it. Again, I got like 30 kids that I need to feed.
And I'll be at the Stratosphere in Vegas tonight through Sunday night, next week in Fort Myers at Off the Hook Comedy Club in Fort Myers. I'm going to be in Tucson, Arizona. I'm doing a Luke Air Force Base on July 20th.
Luke Air Force Base is not in Tucson.
Oh, well, where's that?
It's in
Phoenix?
Phoenix.
I'll be in Phoenix. But I will be in Tucson at the Desert Diamond Casino.
Oh, yeah.
On Friday, July 21st.
That's 20 minutes from me. That's like, that's in the city where I grew up in Sarita.
So tell the whole crew to come.
For sure.
Yes.
Where can we get tickets at?
Just hit me up at adamhuntercomedy@gmail.com.
You're going to have like 70 Mexicans inbox sliding into your inbox.
And then I'll be in Linwood at the Cliffhanger Sports Bar and Arena September 6th, Linwood, Washington, Arlington at Angel of the Winds Casino September 7th. And Cedar Rapids, late September. Listen, thank you for tuning in to the latest MMA Roasted podcast. Anthony Berchek, I've been a fan of yours. Can't wait to see your fight July 30th.
Thank you so much,
No problem. Take care.